the wires.
Watch the wires.
Watch the wires.
Another FBI joke. You
don't
are right.
Break.
Make sure the red light's on.
Okay, make sure the red light's on.
All the way over.
All right. Hello, folks. Again.
Hi.
Hope you had a, hello. Hope you had a great lunch. We're back again. We're going to discuss the Almighty's great love for us in Ephesians through His Son, the Savior Christ Jesus our Lord, who has done all things for us, and we are in Him, according to the Scriptures. In the super heavenlies at the right hand of the Father, we went over first, we're looking at Ephesians 1. Oh, is this working?
No. Well, you didn't, you got it down on here.
Yeah, I know. Here. I'll wreck it somehow, I always do. Alrighty then. I'm wired now. Okay, what we did is we looked over, as you know, what I'm trying to explain to you, the best way I know how. I'm trying to explain to you our calling. I'm trying to explain Ephesians 1, 1 through 9. This is as far as we got. We're looking into the original Greek to discuss these verses. And what I got from going into the original Greek was this. Like, if we read Ephesians 1, 1 through 4, we find, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace from God, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, once and for all, we discussed that there's a lot of aorist tense verbs here, and what that means in the Greek. I know it's a different language than the English, but what we have found out that our Father has done through His Son is that He has done things once and for all. When He has called us out as sons of God, as found out in, as we find in Ephesians 1:4, we find that He's done that once and for all. When He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, at His right hand in His Son, we know that He determined that from before the overthrow of the world, and that that was done once and for all. You'll find that as you study in the Scriptures of our calling, that you'll find a lot of aorist tense verbs, which means that it is a verb that that explains the action of a one and for all thing, a done deal. So that is to say, when we were predestined before the foundation of the world, as it says in the English, we were in the mind of God before this world was plunged into the deep between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. We were in His mind, and He determined before even the fall of the evil one that we would be here now and that we would be serving Him now as members of the Church of Jesus Christ's body. And what I'm trying to point out is the awesome love of God the Father to us through the work of His Son, the awesome Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, and how much the Father thoroughly loves us, and how we can actually, certainly, get to know God Almighty. That's what He wants. He wants us to know Him. Many gods are worshipped today, but the God of the Scripture states that He would have us to know Him. He would have us to know Him well. He would have us to know Him and to love Him. He would have us to know what He has done for us and how much He does love us. And that's what I'm trying to point out here this afternoon again. In the Greek, verses 1 through 4, in Ephesians 1, come out like this. Paul, a sent one of Christ Jesus, with full authority of God, by the heart's desire of the Father. The Father loves. The Father hates. The Father is jealous. The Father has desire. The Father is God Almighty. But He has attributes. It's not like He is a stone, almighty God that has no attributes. He has desire. He calls ones who he will. He has a will. And we'll find that as far as the Church of Jesus Christ's body is concerned, that he wills this out of his heart. He loves us out of his heart. That's what the scriptures put forth.
Amen.
You can either believe this is the word of God or you don't. That's the first thing that you must come to the conclusion of, whether or not this is the holy word of God. I know this is basic, but it's basic to all of us. We can either decide that this is the word of God and believe it and have faith in it, and it is the pure and perfect word of God, even though the translations of it, we find some glitches in them. But it is, in fact, the God-inspired word, the God-inspired word of God. And we must come to the conclusion that of that within our hearts and minds. And once we have that, we know that we can find out things about Almighty God because he wants us to. And that's available to this planet. It's available to people in this world. He's available. And his knowledge and his love and his grace and his power is available. It's just that human beings decide that they are too good for that. They don't have time for that. He's not worthy of their lives. Yet every breath that they take is because of his power. This world that they're in, the atmosphere, the oxygen, the rotation around the sun, their lives, light, photosynthesis, chemistry, all come from him. Yet they deny all of those things. And they say that they make up goofy remarks about where this place has come from. They think that their lives, that they're in control of their own lives. They think that they're the God of their own lives, but they're not. So they choose. We choose who we want to follow. We choose who we want our God to be. Whether it is the God of the Holy Scriptures, or whether it's ourself, or whether it's money, or whether it's whatever it is. We choose. We have this brief point of time of choosing that. And so, don't let anybody tell us that we can't know Almighty God. We can't know his heart's desire. So we're looking into that, pardon me. But all of us here have been touched by the power of God. That's a matter of fact. Verse 2, and it's a real thing. It's not something, the Lord Jesus Christ is living. The Father is living. The Holy Spirit is living. His truth is living. It's not religious. Christianity is not a religion. It's a reality.
Amen.
Verse 2, grace to you and a state of inner peace be with you. This is what the Greek brings out. Knowing you are reconciled to God from God our Father and from the Lord Christ Jesus. Those who do not have the Son in this world are under the wrath of God. Does that mean that they go around in pain? No. That means that they're destined to die. That means that they're destined for death. That means that the wages of sin are upon them. Without the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus and his redeeming blood, they have the wrath of God abiding upon them, which is death. They live out, there's 67, 70 years, 80 years, maybe if they're lucky, 20 years, and then they die.
Amen.
And that's it. But with the power of the Lord, they can be raised from the dead and have life. And the wrath of God does not abide on them anymore. And it doesn't abide on us.
Amen.
Anymore. Sorry. Verse 3, praise be unto the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, who has graciously bestowed upon us every possible blessing belonging to the spiritual classification emanating from the exclusive power of the Holy Spirit within the highest heaven, the very dwelling place of God within Christ, the beloved Son of God. And what your scripture says is, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Where is heaven in heavenly places? Where do we have every spiritual blessing that's possible? Where do we have these blessings that are going to be promoted by the power of the Holy Spirit in a sphere that no man can approach, in the light that's unapproachable, which we saw? Where is that? That's in heavenly places. And according to the Greek, we all know this, It's en tois eperon eois. And what that means is this, is that our blessing is going to be fulfilled in the highest heavens there are. The Greek word literally means in the upon the heavens. Where is that? I mean, this might seem really interesting to you, but the fact of the matter is that it's fact. You might not have ever heard this before, but so what? That's because the world wants to deny this word. They want to push this word aside. Yes, human beings can have a calling in Christ in the upon the heavens. Where is the Lord Jesus Christ today? Is he in the manger? Is he on the tree? Is he in the atmosphere? Is he on Pluto? Where is he today? The Lord Jesus Christ today is beyond the universe, at the right hand of the Father, in heavenly places, in the highest heavens, and that's where our blessings are. Can you understand that? Probably not too well. Does it mean it's not true? No. It's a matter of fact, and we have to have faith in it. So that when we are manifested in Him, that's where our blessings are. It doesn't matter what anybody says or what anybody believes. It matters about what the Father teaches you in His Word. And the fact of the matter is that in heavenly places, in the heavens far above all heavens, is where the Son of God dwells. It's the very dwelling place of God, and it's where the church, which is Christ's body, where the fullness of Christ dwells, and we will have our blessings for eternity. Now, how do we understand that in human terms? It's sort of hard to put that into human words. But through the Holy Spirit and through faith in the Lord and studying the Scriptures, He will enlighten you to these facts. And that's a matter of fact. All of you know that. I don't have to explain that to you. I don't have to describe what that is to you. You know that, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. All people that are in the body of Christ are sealed with the Holy Spirit. It says that in Ephesians 1, I'd say about 11 through 15. And what that means is that means if a king was going to have you travel somewhere and you were going through enemy places or places where people would question you, he would put a seal upon you. He would put a seal upon you. And that seal would be from the king. You would be like an envoy from him, and you would be untouchable because you have this seal. And this seal would seal within you every part of you that the king wanted you to be. And that's what the sealing of the Holy Spirit does in believers, in believers of the church, which is Christ's body. Now we're going to continue as far as we can. In verse Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, you take your pen and you mark off and you scratch out the word children. And, you know, I don't know how far I'm going to get in this study, but the matter of fact is this. This is the matter of fact, is that the Greek word used there in the actual Greek scriptures is the Greek word kuiothesion. Kuiothesion, and I know you're reading this in the English. What I'm saying to you is that the word children is wrong there, and it should be sons. It's like this. And is Christ a son? Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father. We are told in Ephesians that because of the Father's good pleasure, because of the Father's will of His heart, which we saw before, that He called us out to be adopted sons. And what huiothesion means, if you look into the Greek scriptures, that's what the New Testament was written in, the actual Greek scriptures, you'll find the word huiothesion there. And going back to the verse, it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, what it actually should be is the adoption of sons, adopted sons, huiothesion. So you scratch that word children out of there, and you put in adopted sons. And what does this mean? What does huiothesion mean? And I got all kinds of notes here, so bear with me. First of all, let's go back to the word predestined. And it actually, it's the Greek word praarisas. Praarisas. And again, it's an aorist tense verb. What is the aorist? It means that the Father did this for you once and for all.
Amen.
And what we're searching here for is we're searching to know the Father. The Father has a desire of His heart for us. We've seen that. The Father foreordained us before the fall of Satan, which plunged this world into the deep, according to Genesis 1:2. We were in the mind of God before He did that. He did this for us because He desired to do this out of His heart, because He loves us. So He foreordained us. Praarisas. It means to foreordain or to appoint beforehand. What are we talking about? What are we foreordained to? What are we foreordained to? What are we talking about? What is this all about? Well, first of all, we're foreordained to the knowledge and the blessings that we have. And the Apostle Paul further goes on to talk about in Ephesians 1. He talks about that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might know. Epigenosko, that's the Greek word. A full knowledge. Epigenosko. See, the Father doesn't want you to know things halfway. So what do we have from the Father? He loves us. He's got this desire in His heart. And if we ever get to this further in the further verses to come, we'll find that when He decided to do this, He contemplated it. Okay, am I dreaming this up? Do I sit there at home and decide, well, I'm going to tell these nice folks that the Father is a nice, loving guy, and, you know, He was sitting around dreaming this up? No, this is what the Scriptures say. I'm just a shorter Polish guy standing here telling you what the Scriptures say. And the Scriptures say that we can know the Father, and we can know His love. So what we're going to find out as we go on is that He contemplated this. He set this idea before Him about His church, about the adoption of sons, about us being blessed in a heavenly realm. And He decided that it was a great thing for Him to do, and that it was going to bring Him pleasure. It was going to bring Him pleasure like a father with his son, granting him things that would bring Him pleasure to be bestowing these things on His beloved son. On His beloved son, if you guys have had sons. Well, these actually, it can go with children too, with daughters too. You have sons and daughters and you love them and you want to bestow things upon them. And this, the idea of these things brings you great pleasure. And that's the way the Father is. And He did that through the vehicle of Jesus Christ. So when we look back at what the Lord did on the tree or on the cross, we have within our minds that the Father saw past even the cross, saw past Israel, and He saw that the vehicle of Jesus Christ was what He needed to bring us, His church, to His right hand. So when the Father saw the Son giving up His blood on the cross, and we'll find that later, if we probably won't get to it, but we'll find that we're redeemed by the blood of Christ. And I'll talk about what redeemed means. You know, I might just start getting, how much time do I have?
You've been going about 20 minutes.
All right, then. I have about 25 more minutes.
Yeah.
So what I'll try to do is I'll try to just get to some high points, because I'm not going to have time. But this is really important. Like for you guys here, this is really important for you being, you know, you're a little younger than I am, but, you know, it's really important. You know, I can't help but knowing you guys are here. And it's really important for you to hear these things, because God is real. And, you know, so let me go on. So, it says in verse 5, having predestinated us. And what that means is that He foreordained us, or He appointed us, decreeing this from eternity. Okay, what do I mean by that? We were foreordained before the overthrow, before this world fell. And listen to this. When you read about the Son of God, what do you know about him? Well, you know that he was in glory. And then he shed that glory for us. Right?
Amen.
So he came from eternity. And he was placed in time. Right? He came from eternity. He was placed in time. He shed his blood. And then he was taken back up into eternity. Well, in somewhat of the same way, we were in the mind of God and he decreed our calling from eternity. Think about it. Because of how much he loved us and because of the desire of his heart from eternity, before time existed, he decreed this out. He did. I'm just trying to put this into words that even I can understand. He decreed this out. And then we were placed in time. And unlike the Son, we were never in eternity, but we were redeemed out of this time. We were plucked out of time and brought into eternity. And so I see the work of the Son from eternity into time, back to eternity. The church decreed out of eternity, placed into time, redeemed into eternity. However that strikes you, that's how it struck me, is that even though we didn't exist from eternity like the Son of God, we were decreed out from eternity in the mind of God. I know those are right words. I know they're true. I don't know how else to explain it. I don't know how else to explain it. But I know they're fact and they're true. You know, so we can walk in power like that. We can walk in that power. And what he did for us is that he provided sonship adoption. What does that mean? Ace, huiothesion. That's what the Greek words are there for. Having for it in, unto adoption of sons. Ace, huiothesion. And what this is this. What is an adopted son? Are we the only beloved sons of God? No. But through the blood of Christ, we were redeemed from the wrath of God, death. Not only that, but we were purposed to be sons of God. Well, what's the difference between a son and a child? Well, it has to do with responsibility. It has to do with knowledge of him. And I think that our responsibilities are going to be greater in this place that we're chosen to at the right hand of the Father. How do I explain that in human terms? I don't know. What do heavenly places look like? I don't know. I don't know. But the point of it is that God says so in his word, and faith believes it. For it is impossible to please him without faith. Faith is big. Big, big, big. Can I see it? No. Can I taste it? No. Can I taste the Lord, see the Lord? No, no. Is his word true? Yes. Is it real? Yes. Can I have faith in it? Yes. Am I going to be tested? Yes. Is the world going to deny it? Yes. Through faith, we can know that we are the adopted sons of God.
Amen.
That is a fact. Is it spiritual understanding? Yes. Can the natural human man understand it? No. 1 Corinthians 2. Because it's foolishness to them. The knowledge of God is foolishness. And this is potent knowledge that is available. So, the world thinks it's foolishness. They think Christ on the cross is foolishness. They think that resurrection from the dead is foolishness. But it's fact. Huiothesion, for the purpose that we might enter into the state of adopted sons. This is not gender exclusive. If you're a woman, You are a son of God. It has to do with responsibility. Is there male and female in the heavens? No. Are there female angels and male angels? No. Is there marriage in heaven? No. You know, so we're going to have new forms there. And, you know, the reproductive aspect of things won't be needed. So, we are sons of God, whether we're men or women here. It's not gender specific. And we have all the legal rights, this is what this word means, and privileges as of a direct descendant, as a true son. Now, can I explain to you the privileges of a direct descendant of God? No. But can I say it's real? And can I say to you that you can walk out of here with this knowledge in your hearts and minds and dive into these scriptures and get to know Him more with that knowledge of what you are in Him? Yes. That's what I'm trying to do here today. Because your experience with the Lord is your own. It's not your husband's, it's not your wife's, it's not your kids', it's your own. It's my own. My understanding of the Lord is my own. My responsibility to the Lord is mine. It's not my wife's, it's not my dad's, it's mine. But in fact, the beauty of the Father is this, is that through His Son, we are called to a sonship adoption with all the privileges, whatever that is. What is a spiritual blessing in the heavenlies? I don't know. It doesn't say what it is. I don't have any diagrams of what heavenly places look like. What does it look like? I don't know. But where is the realm that the Son of God ascended to? What does it look like? I don't know. Do you? Can you draw me a picture? No, you can't. Is He on some planet somewhere? No. Not according to the Scripture. So, how can we describe where the Son of God is if it's not in creation? Well, we can't. But we can have faith in it. Okay, that's I told you before that God requires that we have faith to please Him. That's how He operates. And He's a genius. The Lord is a genius because He knows what we're like. He knows we like ourselves, we love ourselves, we like to do what we like to do. And He's a genius because He says to you, I'm available, but you're going to have to seek Me. I could appear in front of you and I could give you all things in a second. I could show you Myself. I could take you out of this world at any time I will to. But I give you this life here and I want you to seek Me. It's your choice. You do what you want. I'm not going to force you to do anything, like Bob said. He's not going to force us to do anything. But the blessings that are on the other side are unspeakable. Amen. That's the way He operates. He's a mastermind. And He knows us really well. He says, I'm not going to force you to do anything. That's what's called free agency, free will. You're a free will agent. It's a beautiful thing. You're not a slave. The only thing you're a slave to is to sin, unfortunately. And you're living in a realm of sin, and that's what the Lord came to deliver you out of. Well, how much time do I got, Ron?
About
1 minute. What?
About 1 minute.
Okay. So, He chose us to be adopted sons with all the legal rights of an actual descendant of His. And He did this by His Son, by Christ Jesus again. You'll find in our calling the desire and the love of the Father for us. Yeah, Mike, what are you talking about? I don't feel anything. I wake up in the morning and the Father doesn't speak to me and say, I love you, Kelly. Do you know that you can understand that it's real, though? You can understand that the Father loves you through the work of the Son. And what you'll find in our calling is you'll find the desire of the Father, the thelematos, That means the desire of his. It's not a desire with a rod. It's a desire with the heart. And he's doing this through his son. Through his son to you. Through his son to you. Through his son to you. It's a fantastic picture. And his son is always there. Without his son, we have nothing. Without the blood of Christ, we are nothing.
Amen.
We are dead. We're in a dead world. We are in darkness.
Yeah.
The blood of the Son of God. God came to the earth and sacrificed himself. What? Is that true? Who is God? What is God like? He sacrificed himself for you so that you can be a son of his, like his direct descendant? What? That's what he did. God is love. But he's not the smoochy, you know, lippy love. You know, that is human love. Oh, God is love. God is love. You know, there's so many ways to come to God. He's love. And what human beings think love is the smoochy, lippy love. Oh, God is love. And they feel like they're going to get this old feeling. He loves me every day. No. The love of God is seen in his son. That's what the scriptures say. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that God doesn't love you in a desirable, heartfelt way, like you love your wife or your kid? No, he does. But the fact of the matter is that his love comes through his son. The Son of God. He is the one mediator between God and man. And no one comes to the Father but through the Son. That's the love of God. So you'll find in our calling that it's God's, the Father's heart, and the Son of God all the time. And here we find it again. That we're predestinated by the adoption of sons, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved one. Okay, and I'm going to go, I could talk about that, but I'm running out of time. I'm going to get to this. To whom we have redemption through his blood. This is Ephesians 1:7. Okay, so we find out this. So far, what have we found out? We found out that, let me say this really quickly, and then I'm probably going to end up with 7. I wanted to get through 9. But we found out that the Father loves us with a love we can't describe. He loves us with a love that comes out of his heart. He loves us with a love that he sent himself in the person of the Son and died for us, because that was the only way that he could break the bond of sin and death. So God, how much does God love you? He died for you.
Amen.
That's how much he loves you. He sent himself to die for you. That's the loving God. Would you do that for him? Would you do that for anybody? Would you do that for a bum? Would you do that for a prostitute? Would you do that for a killer? Would you do that for a rapist? Would you do that for a madman? Well, he did that for all those people.
Amen.
If they choose him. So, we see that God is fantastically the God of love because he sacrificed himself. But he gave us free will to choose him or not. In whom we have redemption. What does that mean? What does redemption mean? And I had to get to this. So, the Father has shown us that because of his heart, he called us out before time ever came into existence. He called us out in a way that we're mature sons. He blessed us with every blessing that he has spiritually. What is a spiritual blessing? We haven't even come to know the power of one. A spiritual blessing might be the power of raising somebody from the dead. When men saw angels in their power and they were spiritual beings, they were afraid and fell to the earth. Yet we have every blessing that's spiritual in the Son of God. What does that mean? I can't fathom it, but it's true. That's what is awesome about the Church of Jesus Christ's body. In whom we have redemption. What does redemption mean? Why do we need redemption? I'm going to go into that a little bit. What is redemption? Give me 30 seconds. redemption. Here it is. Listen to this. And remember everything that has come already. I can't reel back your minds. All I know is what I studied. And the teacher always gets 10 times as much out of this as the people, because I know everything I studied and I was in awe, you know. But redemption is this. And let me point this out. This is what the Son of God has done. Yeah, Jesus Christ on the cross. Were you there? All right. Were you there? Was I there in AD 29 to see a human? The Son of God, Christ Jesus, on a tree, on a post, nailed to it, shedding his blood. Was I there? No. Do I know it's true? Yeah. Do I believe that he was the Son of God? Yeah. Do I believe the scriptures? Yeah. See, he doesn't have to prove to me in physical form today, right now, anything. We have his precious word.
Amen.
This word of God. Let me remind you that people have died for this word. Yeah. That at one time in England, that if you had this word of God, you would have been hunted down like a dog. And you would have been thrown in prison. Probably you would have got pneumonia and died. Or you would have been taken out to the square in front of everybody. And they would have put logs under you, lit you up, and choked you to death. For this. Having this. So, we can walk about today and we can find this in every room in our hotels. So, we are without excuse today.
Amen.
And we are coming to the time when the Lord will come back again. But mankind today, with all its technology, all of our technology, and all with all of the possibilities of having the scriptures, are totally without excuse. And that's the way the Lord works. He's going to give us no excuse to say that we did not have an opportunity to know him. So we are without excuse. And many a men and women have died with their lives, my friends, for this word of God.
Amen.
Seriously. I've got research on that. Apolutrosin. Apolutrosin, redemption, deliverance, to rescue from sin. What does that mean? Is everybody a sinner in here?
Yeah.
You better say yes. Is everybody a sinner? Well, some people believe that they don't sin. What is sin? The world, as it goes on today, is going to not recognize boundaries anymore. See, you guys are coming up in this. And I came up in an age where this world was pounded with drugs. And that's dangerous, because evil works through drugs. And evil works with the bending of your mind with drugs, alcohol. I came up in a time where our society was flooded with drugs. The love of children. And I see that was a big impact on our world, because what it did is it took the minds of a lot of young people and turned them away from a living God. And what you're finding today, what I see in the world today, is I see the idea that there is no sin, there is no God, there is no responsibility to, there's no God. I'm not a sinner, I do what I want. I do what makes me feel good. I do what I want. What am I doing wrong? I didn't kill anybody. You know, that's the way our world is getting. Our world is getting into a state where they don't care if there's a God anymore. They don't recognize one because they don't need one. That's the push now, I feel, that I'm seeing. That we are not responsible to try to understand our world. You know, it doesn't matter. We've got our electronic devices. We've got our sports, except the NFL. That's a joke. That's something different. The NFL is the only sport sanctioned by the Almighty. I shouldn't say that. That's blasphemous. Light me up, Lord. But we have our sports. We have our electronic devices. We have everything that can make us happy, happy, me, la. Mine's all wired up. We don't even care how that tree got here. We don't even see how fantastic this body is and what makes it work. It's phenomenal. You could be dead in a second from a bubble of air in your brain. Some enzymes could go wrong within your body, you're dead. This, oh, I'm serious. I'm serious. It's a working wonder. Taking a breath, the oxygen, rotation of the earth, seasons. People don't even care about that anymore. They don't even think about those things anymore. They're crazy, basically. They're all wired in. Well, I gotta end. But this world is dark, as Bob said. We're in darkness. Even though it's light out there, it's dark. Because we are, if we are not under the blood of the Son, we are abiding in the wrath of God. And your wages, our wages is death. Imagine living forever. You're going to die. That's heavy. Heavy duty stuff. Yeah, you're going to die. We're all going to be in a box. In a box with the beetles and the bugs. I've seen dead bodies. Yep, that's where we're going to all end up. All of our nice smiling faces. That's a fact. Everybody in this room in 60, 70 years will be in a box. In the dirt. That's where you're going. I don't care what you think, you're not getting out of it, except through the Son. So you've been redeemed. And what does that mean? It means to rescue from sin, a buying back of a slave through the payment of a ransom, a deliverance from the wrath of God. So the Lord came down and He bought you back because you were a slave to sin. You're born in sin. Are babies sinners? Yeah, according to the Scriptures. A baby is not an angel. Sorry, ladies. A baby is not, oh, look at this little angel. Well, they are. You know, but a baby's a sinner. And that's why they test you immediately. A baby can test a full-grown man. And it can be 1 year old. How does it know how to do that? How does it know how to do that? Well, it's a sinner. It's testing you. You're going to overpower me? If you don't, I'm going to overpower you, and I'm just this big. And they do it all the time. But I think there's something in sin in that. You know, the rebellious state. You know, for me, I'm going to do this. I want this. I want. What, you're not giving it to me? Well, I'm going to cause you problems. Okay. I'm almost done. Agorazo is being bought with a price. Buying a slave's freedom for a price. Turn to 1 Corinthians 7. I'm almost done. I could go longer, but I can't. I'd like to, but I can't. No, I gotta. You know, there was a lot of information here. I put a lot of information together. I was really leery about how this all was going to come out because I just kept on writing these Greek words and phrases, and it's like, oh man, how am I going to put this all together? I can't sit here and recite the Greek scriptures by rote memory. So I think that it might have turned out all right, though. You know, I prayed that. So we're redeemed. We're delivered out of the slave market of sin. By a price. What is that price? And see, as we go as sons of God, we have to learn about the price paid and why. Why did it take the blood of God Himself for us? Well, you have to learn about that. 1 Corinthians 7, 22 through 24. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Ye are bought with a price. The blood of the Son of God. You are bought out of the slave market for the Lord's own self. Turn to Galatians 3, 11 through 13. And this is the Greek word exegarazo. Galatians 3, 11 through 13. How much time do I got? 3 minutes?
None.
Yeah, about
3-4 minutes. All right. Yeah, I really wanted to get through this, but, you know, maybe I could have done it better, but maybe I could have done it worse. I hope you enjoyed it.
Amen.
All I know is this. All I know is that I know that as we study in our calling of prison epistles, we're going to find out that the Father loves us with a love that's so majestic, it'll crush you. It'll crush your heart. It'll take you back. You got, you know, and even no matter what you're facing in the flesh, that's the point. It's not a matter, I said this in the beginning, it's not a matter of who you are. It's not a matter of where you came from. It's not a matter of what you've done or haven't done or who you're not. You're as equal to me as I am equal to you as I am equal to him or her. It doesn't matter to the Lord. Things in the flesh don't matter to him. Titles don't matter to him. Faith matters to him.
Amen.
Well, Galatians 3:11 through 13. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Interesting. Look into that one a lot. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. The last word I'm going to look in dealing with redemption is the word lutron in the Greek, and it's called the price paid, the ransom to release somebody from slavery. Turn to 1 Peter 1. Almost done. 1 Peter 1. I hope this made sense to you. And I hope that it produces a love for the Scriptures within you. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And you'll find that as you study, listen to this one, as you study the things that I'm not going to get to, is that how is the Lord going to present you? How are you going to be presented before the Father in heavenly places? You are going to be presented holy and without blame before Him in love. Holy, without blame. And you know who that refers back to? The Son of God. You're going to appear before the Father without blemish, like the blood of the Lamb foreordained before the foundation of the world. I mean, think about it. That's how you're going to be. I need that. I'll take that.
Amen.
Holy and without blame, the way I am, I'll take that. 10 times a day. Hallelujah. I need that. Just that alone I'll take. Tell you the truth. So, we go back. But with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Where have you heard that before? But was manifest in these last times for you. Turn to Titus 2 and I'll end there. But then I'm going to just, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read Titus 2, and then I'm just going to read, let's call it the expanded Greek version of Ephesians 1, 1 through 9, and then I'll be done. I don't think I wrecked anything. Yeah. Didn't wreck anything yet.
You got 5 more minutes.
I got 5? Yeah. Hey, thanks, man. I got 5. Oh, man, where am I? Man, I got all these notes. You know, I wish I was like a photographic memory type guy, you know. I knew guys like that. They'd sit in school in the front row and they'd just sit there and look at the instructor. And Not him. Is he like that? Oh, give me a break. not Barney. Oh, man. Yeah, well, Barney's a sinner. All right? You know, Barney reminds me of my older brother. I have to say this really quickly. And my older brother, he was a genius, or he is. My older brother went through college in 3 years and got all these science awards, blah, blah, blah. He's a heart and lung specialist now. And every time we went to a family gathering, oh, Mark. Hi, Mike. Oh, there's Mark again. Oh, Mark, how are you? Mike. Oh, yeah, there's Mike. And that's the way I was brought up. So he reminds me of my brother, and that's why I say, oh, you know, and his wife, oh, he's so lovely and nice. And, but to me, he's my brother. You know, he's a sinner. So that's why I say that. He reminds me of my brother Mark, and I grew up with for so many years with that. I don't know if you guys know what that's like. You know, you got somebody in your family, oh, they're so great, and then you're kind of like you're just there.
Titus.
Okay, Titus, yeah. Where was I? Titus 2?
Yeah.
All right, sorry.
Finishing.
Yeah, if I was like Barney, I
would have been done by now.
If I was like Barney, I would have been done by now. Titus 2, 12 through 14. I guess I got to hammer down some more B complex vitamins to be like Barney.
Less coffee, Mike.
Yeah. Titus, let me try to find it. You know, I have a funny saying that.
18.
What?
Page 18:18.
Okay, thank you, man.
You're welcome.
18:18?
18:18.
All right, thanks. Yeah.
You got a saying. What's your saying?
What's my saying?
Yeah, you just said you've got a saying, and then you got interrupted.
Well, let me read this. Teaching us that denying all ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know, I mean, that's the way he wants us to live as men and women. And he will give you the power, like in marriage, he will give you the power to live the best life. The best life. Is it the richest life in worldly goods? No, probably not. But it's the best life. It's the most respected life that there could be. And children in that, bringing children up in that truth, don't let anybody tell you. It's the best life for them.
Amen.
Propagating that in your family is the best way. It's Almighty God's holy way. It's available. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. And I'll just end with this. And but before that, I wanted to say this, that this is what I was going to say. I took the New Testament, and it's not in its proper order in the King James Version. And I sent this really nice New Testament, and I had this lady take it apart and rebound it in its proper order, according to what I thought it was. Well, then I ran into these two guys. And I paid $300 for that. And then I ran into, you know, the glorious Barney and Ronnie. And they pointed out to me that mine wasn't right. So they owe me $300. And I got to do it again. But I wanted to point that out to your precious, for your precious Barney. Yeah. That's, you might think he. Okay, here it is. Ephesians 1, 1 through 9, and then we'll end. This is the expanded Koine Greek version. Koine Greek is the actual language that the New Testament was written in. Common Greek. Okay, and you read along. Verse 1. I'll read along with this. Paul, a sent one of Christ Jesus with the full authority of God, by the heart's desire of the Father, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and a state of inner peace be with you, knowing you are reconciled to God, from God our Father and from the Lord Christ Jesus. Praise be to the Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, who has graciously bestowed upon us every possible blessing belonging to the spiritual classification, emanating from the exclusive power of God, of God the Holy Spirit within the highest heaven, the very dwelling place of God within Christ, the beloved Son of God. Agreeable to the fact that the Father has chosen us out for His specific purpose in Christ before the plunging of the earth into the deep, that we should be set apart for God's purposes and made fit to be in His presence, that is, without any defects, unblemished, just as Christ is, as the Lamb of God, in an affectionate recognition that He takes pleasure in, and which He is unwilling to do without. That was verse 4. He's doing this. He takes pleasure in this love, and He's unwilling to do without it. Like a bulldog. He's as tenacious about what He's doing as we are as tenacious about what we believe. He's going to do this. This is done. Having foreordained us for the purpose that we may enter into a state of adoption as the sons of God with all legal rights and privileges of a direct descendant, God declaring this purpose from or out of eternity, Christ Jesus being the instrument through which this purpose was made possible, this decree coming down from the highest desire within the Father's heart, because of His strong delight and pleasure in doing so. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has highly favored us as a matter of His choice, just like He did Mary, by the way. Amen. That Greek word in verse 6 is only one other place, and that's talking about Mary, the mother of Christ. That's how we're favored. Certainly within her league. In whom we were delivered from the wrath of God by the payment of a ransom, that is Christ's precious blood, canceling the debt and guilt of sin as if it was never committed, judicially removing in totality from the mind of God under the control of the riches of His merciful grace. Through His Son, He has removed all your sins in His mind like they never happened. Amen. Wiped them out of His mind through His Son. That's what it means.
Amen.
Judicially, legally, righteously, like they were never done. That's pretty clean to me. Wherein He has manifested His grace to us in superabundance, by reason of the highest degree of supreme intelligence of the Father. You know, He's putting forth things to you and us to understand. This isn't a joke. He's doing it. And Christ Jesus and the resulting mindset or understanding that exists in us. That is to say, He's putting this grace superabundantly towards us. And what happens is our resulting understanding or mindset that we have. Verse 9, having made known unto us the secret counsels of the desire of His heart, according to a work that He takes great pleasure in, one that proceeds and is governed by the Father's heartfelt kindness. Amen. That's part of our calling, and that's what I wanted to point out. Thanks very much.
Amen.